Something I learned early in associational work, been in it 14 years now, but something I learned early is how important relationships are. Everything we do is relational. Everything we do is really based in the relationships we have, but it's relational because it's trust-driven.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey guys, it's a really good day today on the AMS Excellence Podcast. I have a special guest, Bob Lohman, and he's here to talk to us about being an active listener. Hey Bob, thanks for coming in and sitting down with me for the podcast.
Good to be here today.
Bob is the Executive Director of Metrolina Baptist Association in Charlotte, North Carolina. So Bob, before we get to the actual questions, let me ask you, tell us about your family and then also about your ministry history. What's brought you to where you're at today?
Okay, yes, I'm married to Carla. We've been married 36 years and have two daughters, Rachel and Jessica. They're both grown. Jessica's married to Christian, and we have one grandson, Noah, and it's been a real excitement having the family.
Yeah, very good. We've been swapping pictures lately.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And we live now in Harrisburg, just outside of Charlotte, Carl and I do, but that's home. Came to ministry as a pastor in 1986, a long time ago. And pastored three churches in North Carolina, and then led a regional prayer ministry in Charlotte for several years before I came to Metrolina Association in 2006. So I've been at the association now for 14 years this year.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, we were directors of missions at the same time back in the day.
That's right.
The reason I'm excited to sit down with you today, Bob, is that you were tasked to write about active listening for the 17 Proficiencies book that's about to be released here in June. By the time the podcast gets out, it will probably have already been released. Mm-hmm. And we're excited about that. But, you know, active listening in our work with pastors and within association and leading other leaders is really about creating safe environments and trust. And so much of leadership rests right there. So that's why I believe active listening is of paramount importance. So let me ask you this question. Why are associational leaders sometimes the only safe place for a pastor to talk?
I mean, for pastors, they're really engaged in their churches. They're serving there. And yet, it's hard for a pastor to find someone in their church really they can talk to, and really because of just lack of relationship or lack of trust, they may not want to talk to other pastors unless they really know them well, and that's good if you have those kinds of relationships. So very often the associational person or director or leader, like one of us, is sometimes the best person they can talk to and the closest person they can talk to. And if we as leaders are really being proactive and trying to engage in those kinds of relationships and listening well, then that gives the pastor an open door to really share, sometimes in ways they may not expect to or be ready to, but through conversation and just openness, we can really connect well.
That's so good. It's such a great opportunity for an AMS to really minister to the lives of the pastors that they lead. I was speaking with Todd Robertson recently and did a podcast with him about being authentically vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's important for us as AMSs, but I say us as AMSs, I'm very much identifying in this world. Mm-hmm. But it's important for the AMS to be authentically vulnerable. But we have to also realize that we work with pastors that find it very difficult to be authentically vulnerable, especially within the church. They're afraid that their humanity might actually blow up in their face. And mm-hmm. The AMS being right there in a position to really be able to shoulder that burden for the pastor, what a golden, golden place to be.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about a situation with one of our pastors, too, in terms of an openness or a readiness to be able to really connect and be a safe place. Now, I was a pastor for years and then came to the association, but just in reminding him that I had pastored three different churches over a good number of years, I remember when I said that, he said, "Oh, so you really can understand where I am."
Yeah,
so that opened a door for some safe conversation and good conversation.
Man, that is so good. Hey, I was reviewing before we sat down together. I was rereading the pre-published book, Your Proficiency specifically. In the book, you make a statement, and I want to ask you to unpack that for us. You say, "Listen to learn, not to be polite." What did you mean by that?
I mean, so often in terms of listening, if we're busy, if we're, tight schedule, busy schedule, et cetera, sometimes we can sit down and listen to someone or be in a meeting with someone. And if we're not really engaged, we're listening really, like I said, we're listening to be polite instead of really to try to learn from them and help them. So it's an intentional step we really have to take. Another way you can put it is we need to listen out of curiosity and not out of generosity. You know, so if we're really curious, if we really want to help and engage, for one, the person that we're talking to can tell that, one. And two, it helps us be able then to track with them in conversation and be able to help every way that we can as we're listening well.
This is really an area where I've come to understand my own body language and learn to listen. And I've got a great wife that helps me with that because she knows this is one of my struggles. And it's not entirely that I don't listen. I'm going to use my podcast here as a confessional. Yeah. I've been a police chaplain for over 15 years. It's part of the ministry that I do. And so I'm situationally aware. So when I'm talking to somebody, my eyes are darting over anything that moves in the room. And I really need to harness that and straddle it, because I'll just from my own personal experience, Bob, when I'm talking to somebody, I can tell when they're not listening, when they're not participating, and when they're not engaging. And it kind of feels like a little bit of an insult. So I appreciate how you define that. You said something there just a second ago that I want to take away from this podcast. And guys, I think it's tweetable.
Yep.
You say, listen from curiosity, not from generosity.
Right.
And man, that generosity word hit me really hard, because I was thinking of all the times I've done a disservice to the person I'm engaged with. And there's this sense that I'm just being generous with my time in their presence. And that is so arrogant and so unhealthy. And so I appreciate that phrase that you use.
Yeah. And for me, and just as you said that, I realized that one thing that I have to watch myself on and be careful about is whenever I'm stopping to speak with someone, or especially if it's in just a brief moment of conversation, very often I'll hear people say, "I know you're busy," you know?
Right.
And as soon as I hear that, I'm thinking, okay, what did I do to show I'm busy? It's probably because I'm either fidgeting or acting like I want to walk on, and that's not good. I need to stop.
Yeah,
stop
absolutely.
And pay attention.
I hear them say that, and I think, oh, good, I can get away quick.
Right, that's right, that's right.
No, not really, guys. I'm not that bad.
That's right.
I've heard you talk about asking good questions and how that can help with active listening, and I'm intrigued by that. What kind of questions can we ask to help us listen well?
I mean, something I've learned recently in terms of listening and with the whole issue of questions, sometimes it's important to think before you sit down to talk with someone, as far as I know, what are we going to talk about, and what are some specific questions I need to ask? So I was in a session with a pastor not long ago, and thankfully I had enough presence of mind to stop and say, okay, so I jotted down some specific questions, and they really helped me walk through. I mean, usually start with some surface kind of issues, just greeting. Make sure you're connecting well, and then ask the kind of things we need to ask so that we're getting to the root of what they need to share. And the more you know before the meeting happens, before the conversation happens, the more you can craft those questions to really, really draw out what needs to be said.
I really like that. It's almost strategic planning for a meeting.
I mean,
it really is, because as you formulate those questions to ask, you might think of tangential things that might come up or that might be expressed, and you're in some way more prepared for a quality, deep conversation. I talk about all the things I've heard you say over the years, and another thing that I know is so important for you. In fact, we were talking with a group of other AMSs today, and they were focusing on how diligent you are in the area of prayer. So as prayer relates to active listening, let me ask you, how important is prayer to the active listening process?
I mean, it was just up to us. It was just up to me meeting with a pastor, or you meeting with a pastor, or just us. That's one thing. But if we're dealing with spiritual issues, dealing with really crucial issues in someone's life, I want to do everything I can do to be able to listen well and then say what I need to say in terms of the conversation we're having. And so for me, that drives me to the point of prayer, not just for someone after they've shared something, but before I talk to them or before we have a conversation. And I got a plaque. It's interesting. It really helped this past week in a meeting, but I have it on my desk, the meeting table in my office, and the plaque says, "Pray first."
Okay. It's so good.
And yeah, and I sat down with a pastor to talk a few weeks ago, and as we sat down to start the conversation, he saw the plaque and said, "Do we need to pray first?" And when he said that, I said, "Yes." So we did. I mean, it's a beforehand issue. It's something we need to be praying to prepare, and it's something we need to be doing after listening really, I believe, helps us be the intercessors we need to be for pastors, for families, for churches, their families, churches. And so when issues come up, I'm not only listening just so maybe I can say something to help, I'm getting fuel for the kind of praying I need to be doing for those pastors as we move into the future.
What I really like about what you're saying is that we understand everything that we do is spiritual.
Right.
And if we're going to approach even conversations just to build relationship, approaching it from a spiritual foundation is always going to produce better fruit.
Yep.
I think about how so many of us that have been in ministry for a long time, we can, if we're not careful, work out of our strengths and not out of our spiritual call or drive.
Right.
And we can exist a long time just working on our strengths without the spirituality behind it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that going into any, and you mentioned especially heavy conversations, but I would really say any conversations that are important at some level, if you really value that person you're talking to, going into those conversations prayerfully is always going to yield greater fruits. Now, you can't go into a conversation prayerfully with a guy who walks up to you in the middle of nowhere and starts a conversation, obviously. But I do like that you emphasize that focus on prayer for those conversations. And guys, we all know we engage in important conversations all the time. We stand in a gap sometimes that can rescue a pastor because things are going south in the church. And we have to be best equipped and tap into divine wisdom to know what questions to ask and that kind of thing. So that's such a good word. I think many of us need to hear that. I personally need to be reminded of that. That really ties into this next thing I want to ask you is that as we talk about active listening, I think relationship is very important in that, right? So talk to us about the dynamic of relationship and how that applies to active listening and that sort of thing.
Something I learned early in associational work, been in it 14 years now, but something I learned early is how important relationships are. And really, the truth is, remember I wrote one time not long after coming to serve in the association, that everything we do is relational. Everything we do is really based in the relationships we have. And when I say that, I mean from an association leader perspective to a church, to a pastor, et cetera. But it's relational because it's trust-based and it's trust-driven. So if I don't have a relationship with a pastor, for example, there's really not a whole lot of trust there yet, and there's not much he's probably going to open up about in terms of, and I'm not either, in terms of conversation. And yet the more I'm able to get to know him, in relationship, the more we trust each other, the more we can share. I've discovered that too, I mean, not just for pastors, but in serving with churches. That's some capital that we have in associational work that we can really use to the kingdom benefit. I mean, that whole trust level. And it comes because, especially when you've been somewhere for several years, it comes because they've seen you serving, they've seen you helping, and they want to do whatever they can to connect, and they trust you to help any way that you can help. So I know, speaking of listening to pastors, there have been times I've had some church members who have called me, emailed me, contacted me one way or another because they were concerned about their pastors. And that came because of relationship.
Right.
And then it wasn't anything bad, I mean, from between them and their pastor. They were just concerned for their pastor, health issue or fatigue or whatever. And because of those kinds of relationships, then that made it possible for me to connect with the pastor to say, hey, let's get together for lunch and talk. And then I remember that happened one time with one of our pastors back several years ago, and really revealed some serious issues that he was wrestling with personally. Just because of those relationships and the trust level we had, we were able to help each other, and he's doing great now. So
wonderful.
God really worked through that.
That's great. Hey, let me ask you this question, because it occurs to me that there might be some of our AMS brothers out there that are listening to this podcast, and they think they're a great active listener, but as we're talking about this, they're maybe questioning that. What are some of the self-diagnostics that one can do to really ask that question introspectively and say, am I really a good active listener? Or what are some of the traits of maybe not being a good listener? What are the signs that I should look for in myself to see if I'm an active listener or not?
Well, one thing you mentioned earlier is the whole issue of body language. I mean, what am I doing with my hands? What am I doing with my arms, feet, et cetera, face, eyes? Yeah, how am I looking around the room? I remember one conversation with a pastor when obviously he didn't want to be there because he had a pen in his hand. And as we talked, he was constantly tapping his foot with the pen. And I'm thinking, he really wants to be here. But that speaks and that communicates. You know, another thing that for any of us that are married, if I ever have a question about how I look or how I'm behaving, if I really want an honest answer, I go to my wife and ask, you know, Carla, right. What do you think about this? Does this make sense? Does this look all right? Does I sound right? I mean, there have been times I've wondered and to ask her a question about something, and the response was, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, so really, I get some really good, honest feedback from somebody you trust. And hopefully we all have either spouses or friends we can talk to like that. But finding ways to really be able to hone that craft is important. And we can start at home with that. There have been plenty of times I didn't listen to my wife well. I mean, you know, so yeah. I'm sure all of us would raise our hands on that one. I mean,
not me.
Right, that's right, that's right. But again, if we're practicing active listening in some good ways with all our relationships, then that's something we can take as a tool into those ministries with our pastors.
Yeah, I'm blessed with a wife that knows that I have a tendency to dart around the room. And when I'm engaged in a conversation that she deems is probably an important one, she'll come up behind me. And she has a place on my back that she'll rub, just my lower back. She'll just tap it and rub it to tell me to get my eyes focused on the guy I'm speaking to. It happens all the time, but she's really good at it because I do have that wandering eye issue. And I don't ever, and here's why that's important to me that my wife does that. Because I don't want to devalue that man. I mean, the fact that my eyes are darting around the room is one you might say is because of my trying to be observant of my current environment. But it's disrespecting that person. And my wife sees it, even though I wouldn't, I'm listening to everything that person's saying, but I'm not letting them know I'm hearing everything that they're saying. And so that's a great wake-up call for me to just say, hey, look, I need to give the respect and honor to the person that I'm communicating with. I don't want anybody I communicate with to think I devalue them. And especially in the position of AMS, that's the last thing you want is that your pastors are feeling that they're devalued.
Exactly.
Hey, so what would you say to the AMS that's listening, right? And maybe this guy that's listening says, you know what? I know this is an issue for me. I really, for whatever reason, I just, after about 30 seconds of conversation, I just fade out and I just drift off and I'm not listening anymore. And now I'm hearing that that's devaluating my pastor. And I can reflect on all the times somebody's done that to me and how bad that feels to myself. So I don't want to do that to anybody else. I mean, what would you say to that, brother?
One of the things to just remember is that, I mean, we're all in this together. And that's one of the things I've really enjoyed about my my work with other associations, as well as in our own association, is my colleagues in associational work are always there, one way or another. They're always there to either help or listen. And some of the guys, remember when I was early on in this work, there were some association leaders that had been in it much longer that were good mentors for that whole process and what I need to do, what I not need to do. And really just having some brothers that can give some honest feedback is helpful.
That's good.
And very often, they were also encouragers, too. But again, it's so important that between our spouses, between our family members and colleagues, usually we can get the kind of help we need, I would hope, that would help us be able to help pastors the way they need to be helped through a listening ear.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Hey, before I get to my final question, Bob, share with us a story about how active listening has played out in your own association.
Yeah, I know when I first came to the association, one of our retired pastors who knew the challenging place our association was in at that point in time, told me that what I needed to do coming to the association was to spend the first 5 years taking pastors out to lunch and just listening to them.
5 years. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I told him, okay. So I started doing that, and I didn't take just 5 years, but it's something I do now on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And in asking pastors out to lunch and really just doing it so I can hear what's on their heart, those have been some good conversations, some challenging conversations. And one thing I'd add to that is sometimes I caught myself just wanting to do that with pastors that I had a good relationship with. But some of the best conversations I've had have been with some pastors that maybe things hadn't gone that well with. And yet, when we took the time to sit down and talk and listen to one another, things were worked out. And I know in one particular situation, I know one pastor wasn't either, I think he thought I was either mad at him or something. But through a conversation together, it made clear, no, I wasn't angry. We just hadn't talked something out, hadn't talked an issue out. Another story about a pastor that had wanted to talk, and I went to lunch with him. And when we got back to after everything he shared, which was a lot, personal issues, challenges at home, etc., after everything I'd heard, I asked him, be okay if I prayed with you? And we were still sitting in his truck, his pickup truck, and I just lifted up the needs he had shared. I prayed for him, and when I said amen and looked at him, he had tears in his eyes. And what was so sad was the next thing he said was, you know, I'm in the ministry for over 20 years, and nobody ever prayed for me like that before. So, I mean, that underscores both the importance of listening and really paying attention to what a pastor needs, and then remembering the whole aspect of prayer and praying for them. So, I mean, there's so many needs that pastors have that sometimes no one ever hears. Maybe their spouse, but very often no one else.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. You've probably heard the podcast plenty of times already at this point, so you already have been tipped to my final question that I like to ask leaders. But as you know, a healthy leader has an openness to learn by questioning his own presuppositions. So let me ask you this question. What have you recently changed your mind on?
I guess the thing that I would mention today is just the whole issue of how we do church planting as an association. We've always emphasized church planting. It's always been important to us. And yet just recently, in talking with some of our pastors and leaders, I've recognized the fact that while I've kind of divided my work in the past in church revitalization and church planting, this year, and I just told our leadership and our association recently, that I'm really seeing that we need to put more of a focus on church planting, because if a church is engaged in reproduction, they're healthy. And the more a church can do that, the healthier they're going to be. So now we'll still do everything that we need to do to serve our churches. And yet a healthier look, I think, at church planting is something we're going to be, at least I've changed my mind on recently, and we'll be giving even more emphasis to in the future. I mean, the needs are so great in our city. I know they're great everywhere else, especially in cities around the country. But at least that's been a place I've kind of adjusted my thinking recently.
Very good. I'm excited to hear that. Hey, guys, my special guest today was Bob Lohman, Executive Director of Metrolina Baptist Association in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bob, thanks for coming in today, and I really appreciate you sitting down with me.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.